New media, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to unite and assist fellow loners and dreamers, to advise and amuse mankind. On behalf of the Not Sam Network, to boldly go where no broadcast, no Not Samsonite, has gone before. The Tomorrow Show, with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Featuring one celebrity husband's midlife crisis, a reformed party girl's quarterlife crisis, and millennials in Star Trek costumes. Sitting in the captain's chair, the first officer of your tomorrow, Roxy Stryer.
Aww.
Thank you so much, my friend Sam Roberts. Never gets old. I have a confession to make very early to you guys right now. I hope that Kevin Undergaro never listens to this show, because I am about to tell you guys something at the top of this that would make him so mad at me.
Ooh.
That I have barely been able to look you guys in the eyes since we have been here today.
Oh my God.
And if he listens, I know he will be so upset with me. It's crazy. I am Roxy Stryer, filling in for Kevin Undergaro, who is still on his secret mission back east, aka helping people with wild scams. He's scamming on no matter where he is. But tonight, in the co-host seat, it is Takara Wireless herself.
Hello, hello, peeps.
All the red going on, girl. Just worked for you. The lip, the dress, you got it.
Thanks.
I want your hair, too.
You can have it. We can work something out.
I don't know if that's how it works. Don't you wish you could just pick everything you want? Like, every time you looked at somebody, you were like, yep, I want that. Like shopping.
Yeah, take like that, a little temporary fill.
Wait,
yeah.
Isn't that what people do in L.A.? I swear I've seen this happen.
The people with a lot of money, they definitely show. Honestly, people look at faces and they circle the images. Like, I want that person's nose and their cheekbones. And then
so
they bring
ridiculous.
It to their doctors and voila, they look like a robot.
That's perfect.
That's how it works. That voice in there, that very, very judgy voice that you all heard. Michael Klaus in the booth.
What? Here I was waiting for what that adjective would be, and you went with judgy?
Well, I don't have to be that nice to you because it's not your 30th anymore. Now you're 30 in 2 weeks, so what does that even matter?
Wow, just kick me to the curb.
But also, didn't it sound just anything you say, even if that wasn't a judgy statement, I hear it in a judgy tone. Is that on
so
me?
So this sounds like a you issue, Roxy.
Is that on me?
Let's take a quick vote. Is what Michael says.
And I want to
oh, yeah.
You.
Well, I guess Maria really wanted to weigh in on the vote. She agreed with me so much that she was like, you know what? Yep, Michael is the judges. And she
oh my God, millennials.
You do not get Maria's vote just like that.
Maria said, I'm on a journey to, and I know what the end of that
to agree with Roxy.
To agree that Roxy says Michael is judgy. Thank you, Maria Menounos, so much. Better together, I agree. Less judgy, better together. But quick vote in here. Also, Steph Sabra in the booth.
Hello, hello.
Weighing in on this. Raise your hand if you think that Michael has a judgy voice. Michael has kept Takira's. Oh, okay. She raised a finger. All right. So maybe
no,
one.
No, I'm just
and a
kidding.
Half.
Yeah.
It depends what Tony's
I
bringing.
Can't. I love Michael Klaus. So.
Well, if he does have a judgy bone in his body, I'm about to receive that judgment right now because here oh. is what I did this morning.
Oh,
my woof, guys. Gosh. This is a major, major woof. Has Kevin told any of you about my hoarder tendencies? My previous hoarder tendencies?
Not at all.
I've heard rumors.
Okay.
I was about to say, I've heard little things.
So, Takara and Steph, you guys have come into my life at a time that was past most of my hoarding. Michael, you were on the tail end of my hoarding ways. But when I met Kevin, I was a full-on hoarder. We're talking clothes overflowing from the closet that I have had since eighth grade, things shoved under the bed, every single drawer stacked to the brim. I had I used to have a garage full of stuff that I did not one time go into in the 3 years I lived there. Didn't use one thing from the garage,
oh
but
gosh.
Still it was packed. Hoarder.
No way.
Crazy. I get very attached to things and I don't want to let them go.
Is it a fear of loss?
I think that you could definitely therapist me here and analyze what is going on. But partially that, partially it's like, what if I need it one day in 12 years? What if I'm sorry, this is going to be something that some people don't like, but I am, so I can say it. It's part of the Jew in me too. Like if you already have something, you don't want to ever think about having to buy that thing again.
Like that Starbucks cup that you have an issue with every day.
Exactly. Like how I save my coffee bean cups so that I reuse.
Oh, there we go.
It's
coffee
beans. It's just Starbucks too, though. It's just a thing that I it's always been like this. And growing up a rich kid, it's weird because you would think it would be the opposite, but I never wanted to buy something more than once. I lived in a big house too, so I could hoard without anybody really noticing. There was a lot of nooks and crannies of that place that I would just fill with my crap. So when I moved in with my now ex-boyfriend 2 years ago, Kevin was like, Rox, enough is enough. You're moving into a one bedroom from your place, and it's unfair to put your baggage literally on him. You have to clean up your act. You got to get it together. Mm. It was a little longer ago than that where we started this. I think it was about 3 years ago we started the process.
Okay.
And this is around the time I was getting a new car too. My old car was covered in what Kevin refers to as millennial goo. Just disgusting.
What is millennial goo?
Stuff. Just goo, the goo that millennials leave behind. It's just the goo.
Cool.
And things, they have goo on them. I don't know, but that was my whole life. And so when I was moving, he told me, Goodwill, we got to get it all out. So I did. And when I moved, I brought 12 bags, 12 massive bags. We're talking about huge industrial trash can size bags of stuff to Goodwill. And then when I moved into my new place, I had to bring 8 more bags. Because that's how little stuff would fit. It was a crazy amount of things. And Kevin was so proud of me. We showed a picture on the Tomorrow Show of a purse I got rid of that when I tell you guys, when you touched it, it deteriorated.
Oh.
Like, it was so, old, and I had not used it since maybe I was 7. Like a kid's purse that I had brought with me from Boston to LA to sit in a closet. Weird stuff.
Wow, rocks.
Totally.
No meaning whatsoever. Like,
some of the things, part of my hoarder tendencies, of course, are things with meaning. There's huge parts of my closet that's stuff of my mom's. Right. And that stuff, Kevin was like, okay, but we need to maintain those things. So
keep
you have
home.
To keep them.
Sure, yeah.
You have to keep those pristine. And when you put them with all this other stuff, it makes them crap. So you have to.
Right.
So it worked really, really hard to get rid of this hoarder tendency of mine. Really hard. And so I relate to anybody out there who has a hard time throwing things out. I still haven't watched Marie Kondo's thing because I'm scared that it will make too much sense. And I don't, sometimes you don't want to get better, right? So sorry, Marie, I'm still better together, but sometimes.
The sound drop really got us.
So I've worked very hard with my car. You guys know now it's spotless. I don't leave anything there except for something that I left in there the other day. So I think it was Steph I texted about this on my way here last week. I rolled over a Michael, what's a bolt. I rolled over a bolt. So in between a screw and a nail, it was like a short bolt, but it popped my tire. And so I had a slow leak and I had to get it filled. So I went and I got it filled and they took out the bolt and they handed it to me. And I became very emotionally attached to this bolt.
Oh my gosh,
okay?
Roxy.
So I got this bolt and I'm looking at the bolt and I'm thinking to myself, I know you should throw this out because what are you going to do with this? But then I started thinking, it's a reminder of accidents happen.
Oh my.
And in life, you never know. And Kevin's been out of town and usually he helps me with car things, but I went and I got this patch by myself.
Oh my.
And I figured it out and I have overcome. And also, what if I need a bolt one day? Now I'll have one with me. Just somehow, I think it's because Kevin's been out of town for so long, so I've lost all my logic.
Mm-hmm.
I decide in my head, I have to keep this bolt.
Roxy.
I have to keep it. No, it gets worse. So I decide, you know what? It's just going to be the one thing I keep in my car. I'm just going to, the only thing in here is going to be this bolt, and I'm going to keep it in the cup holder, and it will be fine. So the bolt has been there for the past week. This morning, on my way to work, it's like 7 a.m. I'm up, hair and makeup's done, ready to be on camera. Stop and get some tea. I put my tea in my cup holder. I'm driving. I lift my tea. I take a sip. I put it back down. Driving. Do that a few times. All of a sudden, I'm like, why am I wet? I look down and my outfit, everything.
Soaked.
Very wet. I'm like, what the hell? So then I'm like, wait, what? What? So I pick up the tee.
Karma.
I had put the tee, the bolt was upwards. I put the tee on the bolt. It punctured the tee. And so now I'm like, I've lifted it. It's dripping all over me. I'm driving. I'm on the freeway. I'm sitting there thinking, what do I do? So the tee is scalding hot. I'm like, I need this caffeine. I can't throw it out. If I don't drink it, it's going to keep spilling out. I don't want to throw it out the window. A, I don't like to litter, but B, I'm going to get a ticket. Oh, if I put it back in the thing, now there's a puddle there.
It's so much.
So I start chugging. I'm chugging this tea. It's so hot. I'm burning my mouth. I'm sitting there like kind of laughing, kind of tearing up. Like, what is wrong with you, bitch? Why did you do this to yourself?
You know, Kev is like screaming. From the, like your government name.
Like, this is what Roxanne Jillian Stryer. Why did you do this? So I finished the tea. I'm drenched. It's like gotten in my hair. It was one of those very messy situations.
Oh my gosh.
I have nothing else in my car to clean it up with because I don't keep anything in my car. I should keep napkins. I do not.
That's a progress.
Except for the bolt.
No good.
The only thing in my car is this bolt. That's karma. So finally, I finish it, and then I was like, you know what? This bolt is going in this cup of empty tea, and then I'm throwing this out.
Wow.
But, well, hold on, wait. She said, and then I'm throwing. Did you throw it?
Yeah, I threw it out. Okay. I threw it out because it was just such a short-term example of why you shouldn't do things like this. And I know that is a very long story to get to a very quick ending, but I can't believe sometimes you make so much progress in life and in one moment I relapsed.
You relapsed on my hoarding.
100%. 100%.
I can't believe that.
But do you feel now like, okay, Kev was right. Everybody in life was right. Like, I'm just going to do better.
Kind of to Kira, but also kind of like, but I swear to you, I'm not kidding. This is not to make the joke. I'm worried that I threw out the bolt. Because I'm sitting here thinking, well, what if that was part of the challenge? That this bolt was like testing me and it wanted to see.
I don't know. I'm going to stop you right then and there.
It totally flips me out. So, Kevin, I hope you never hear this episode of The Tomorrow Show.
I hope he does.
I'm so sorry. I swear I've learned from your lessons, but I still have a long way to go with my hoarding. But that is not the worst thing that has happened this week, because I cannot wait until we get to Michael Klaus's news section. We have a lot to go over before we get there, but just to tell you guys a little bit, Twitter blew up this week.
Jeez.
We had some craziness going on Twitter.
Talk about woof.
It was kind of like they all must have texted each other.
100%.
This is the week.
So yeah. All the villains of life are like, let's fucking do this.
100%. We had to get somebody from every sector to like, all right, you say something anti-Semitic and you, like, we just went to all the people. So I cannot wait to talk about them. We also had some crazy Trump things again. Shocker, that's the first time you've heard me say that, right?
Yeah.
Crazy Trump things this week?
No, this seems, let me write down the date so we have it in history.
Yeah, definitely.
Archive.
Definitely write that down.
We haven't talked about him in a while, so.
Yeah, very.
Because Roxy and I are like, as much as we can avoid, let's avoid. Until it's like, fuck.
Until you can't, and you just have to, and then there's nothing else you can do. And then we've got some cool movie news stuff going on as well, so I can't wait to get to all that. But we also had a big week because this weekend was Father's Day weekend, and it was Michael Klaus's birthday party. So we had some TTS stuff going on. Michael, did you have a fun 30th birthday party?
I did. It was very good. Had a lot of people show up, which was a blast. And I didn't feel – I always feel like I have to host a lot, and I only felt like 50% of that this time, which was great.
Oh, good. You were worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big worry.
I feel like you were the perfect amount of host and guest at your party. Aww. Which is what people should try to be. That. For you guys who didn't know, I made myself so sick at Michael's party, I had to leave early.
And it wasn't drugs, and it wasn't alcohol.
I was just about to say.
What was it, Skittles?
Death by frosting. I was incapacitated in a ball in the corner.
Wait a second. You guys judge Michael Klaus and I's Christian fun of Reese cups and you yourself get sugar wasted?
I didn't mean to.
No, that's another side of karma.
I was going to try to get drunk. Not drunk, but have a couple of drinks. I was dry heaving at my toilet for 3 hours when I got home.
Wait, oh my gosh. I don't get, what do you think happened? I'm confused.
We went to Michael's. I hadn't eaten since the AfterBuzz staff meeting where we had a couple of ribs. That's all I had for the day. And when we were on our way there, we wanted to stop and get food, but we were already so late. And when we got there, there was a cake, and I didn't eat the cake. I had a ton of frosting. All the and I think just the straight sugar, empty stomach, hadn't been drinking water or hydrating, whatever it was, I have a sensitive stomach in general. I made myself so ill that I Irish goodbye'd, except I did go say bye to Michael because I knew he'd be mad.
Irish, you said I was going to Irish goodbye and then I want to be able to, I came back in. You said you left.
I did leave.
And then came back. Well, that meant the world to me,
Do you want to know why I did that, Steph Sabra?
Please tell me.
Because do you remember at your birthday party, Steph, when I Irish goodbye'd and Michael flipped out and was not okay with me Irish goodbye?
It's so funny because it was my birthday and I could care less because you just showing up was awesome.
I don't like saying goodbye.
It's weird.
Awkward. It's weird.
I agree.
I like coming places. I hate leaving them. It's just strange. But I knew how upset Michael was when I left your party, Steph. I was like, imagine if I don't say bye to him at his party. So I was like, so ill, and I didn't want to tell him.
Michael verbalizes his issues.
I felt bad when I found out you were actually sick because I didn't know that night. I thought, oh, I know she's got a lot going on. She's got a busy day tomorrow. And then I found out you were sick, and oh man, it pained me.
One thing she doesn't do is lie.
Because he didn't care.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah, for sure. Why? Aww.
I mean, he's like, I don't know if he...
Yeah, why did he make that face, Michael?
Oh my gosh. For everyone listening via podcast, he's like doing this awkward shrug of a, I don't know.
So judgy.
Super emoji.
Just not even talking.
No words.
Judgy eyes. judgy.
I like turn that like... half of a I don't know finger, like it's turning into a hand, my friend.
Whatever, no. Michael. Then it was the weekend. I worked all weekend, and on Father's Day, I'm 3,000 miles away from my dad. But my dad called me this year 2 days before Father's Day, and he said to me, instead of a present this year, can you please watch the Snowden doc?
Wow.
Wow.
He's so weird sometimes, though. He was like, I really would like to discuss the Snowden doc with you.
That is so sweet, though.
It is. However, you don't know my dad because he's super weird about Father's Day and things and in marches to the beat of his own drum and doesn't do. The one thing about my dad that's important for the story is he does not do anything he does not want to do. Ever. Mm,
that's good. That's admirable.
He's never had a boss. He does not do something that he does not want to do. It's good in some ways, not good in other ways. Yeah, like nothing that he does not want to do ever.
Dang.
So
savage.
Savage. So I watched the Snowden doc. It was fine. And
just like 1 to 10. Like would you recommend?
It was just super. It almost felt like a music video. It was just Snowden talking with images, but it was
interesting.
It was fine.
It's always piqued interest.
I know a lot about Snowden. It was It was fine.
Rocks, that's so funny because my dad texted my family and said, for Father's Day, I want you to watch this film.
No way.
Yes.
What film?
It
wasn't.
It was, I just pulled it up. FX was doing a documentary on the youngest known child separated from his family at the U.S. border under Trump.
That's the
kind of thing that, like, my dad's like, watch.
Watch this. So,
who doesn't have it?
I love Steph's dad.
So,
he's so cute.
I did. And then I called my dad for Father's Day. I texted him in the morning and I said, hey, Dad, I'm working all day today. However, I'll call you later after I get home and watch the Snowden doc. So I call him around 5 o'clock after I've watched the Snowden doc. And I called him. I said, hey, Dad. He said, hi. I said, happy Father's Day. He said, thanks. Didn't we already talk today? I said, no, I texted you this morning. And he said, oh. I said, well, I watched the doc. He said, cool. I said, okay, well, do you want to talk about it all? He was like, not really in the mood. I was like, to talk about the doc or anything. He was like, I'm going to jump off the phone now, Rock. Bye. Love you. It's like, love you too, Dad. Bye. That was the one conversation we had on Father's Day.
No way.
He's so strange like that. I talked to my siblings and both of them, my sister flew home from Florida to get dinner with him. And my brother, we all got him this really nice bottle of wine. And they were like, okay, we're bringing it over. We're going to dinner. And he was like, nah, sorry, not in the mood. See you guys a different day this week.
No way.
Swear to God, didn't see any of us.
Shut up.
Just didn't feel like it. What? And he does that all the time. It's not in a malicious way.
It's just truth.
He's like, it's Father's Day. So all the days, I'm going to do what I want to do today. So why are you confused? I just don't feel like having this conversation.
Oh my
anymore.
Gosh, Roxy, is that where you got your truth? Like just... You're blatant, like,
oh, I
love
so.
It, though.
I think so, but he, imagine me times 400. Like, it's next level
it's
insane.
So oh my gosh.
Crazy.
Well, your dad is getting a lot of love in the super chat. All right. Speaking of, like, in the super chat.
Go,
hello.
Mike.
Garth McGuire says, for $2, I love Roxy's dad for the Aerosmith reunion in the 80s.
Yeah, that's
hey,
him, all
baby.
Right. I told you, he doesn't do things he doesn't want to do, and that is something he did want to do.
Have I ever seen a picture of your dad? Oh, yeah, I did. I think... I've seen a picture of your dad before.
I wonder if you type it in if you could find him. He's just Michael Stryer. He looks like he's a bodybuilder, so he's ripped. And
no way.
Yeah, he's
okay.
That is so cool.
Now we have to all see Roxy's daddy, aka everyone else's zaddy.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
On his grill.
He has a shaved head. He's had it since 9/11. He decided he wasn't allowed to have hair anymore. He does weird things like that.
I'm here it was, for it. Whatever.
He was like, until we find Osama bin Laden, I can't have hair. And then by the time we found him, he couldn't grow hair anymore.
Okay.
So that was strange. Did you guys just post a look at a picture of me and Zac Efron and think that was my dad? Stand up of Zac Efron. That would be great.
If that was your dad, I would have to join the fam.
I will say, though, he is, for a 60 something year old man, he's yoked. He's really, really jacked.
Garth McMurray says, Google image search Michael Stryer Ali.
Oh,
Unhammed Ali.
Or Muhammad Ali?
I don't know. That was just what Garth said. But we do have another super chat while we're pulling up a zaddy pictures from Google.
You see on your Instagram?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, go on to Kira.
I love, we got $2 from Butthole Weeb. Yeah.
Butthole Weeb?
Yeah.
What do you think that means? What's a weeb?
I don't know. I kind of want to know, post about that.
Maybe on April 9th, I posted a picture with him. He, Butthole Weeb.
I don't know.
Not with
the super
weeb,
chat.
My dad.
But the super chat says, do you guys still think WATP is a good show? What are these podcasts?
I don't listen to that. Do you guys listen to it?
I don't either.
Somebody always brings it up on this show, and it's not my...
Not your cup of tea?
No, it's not that it's not my cup of tea. I have podcasts I listen to. I never have listened to it.
I'm so bugged down with podcasts, but just for you, Butthole, I'll check it out.
Oh my God. Just for you, Butthole.
Do it for the Butthole.
I thought that something, another interesting thing about Father's Day, though, I always tweet something about this, and I did this year. I still have my dad, regardless of if he ever wants to talk to me or not, because sometimes he doesn't. But I do still have him. Super grateful for that. And yes, he's an interesting cat. But because I lost my mom, I'm very cognizant of what Father's Day might be for some people, because that's what Mother's Day feels like for me. Although we're not all the same, us DPC members. That's what I so lovingly call the Dead Parents Club. But I think that people have different reactions to the day and different things that they do. And I know I posted sending some love to the people who might have a hard time on that day, whether you're a parent who's lost a kid,
yeah,
or a kid who's lost a parent, or just having a strange relationship with your dad. And Takira, I saw that you posted something as well, because your Father's Day is the equivalent of my Mother's Day.
Yeah. And thank you for the text. It really, like,
of course,
obviously, like, I think I texted you like 7 or 8 in the morning on like some TTS stuff. And obviously my mind goes into
work mode.
I'm like, let me work. Like, let me just ignore everything. Let me just get like super busy.
Is that you on Father's Day every year?
Think so. Like, at first I have different reactions. I'm like, do I want to just work the day away and keep my mind busy? Or do I want to really like take some time to get to remember him and that sort of thing? But this year I was just like, you know, I really missed him. Like, it hit me hard this year.
Isn't that weird how it's different, so, different
it's so
years?
Strange.
Some years it's just kind of a day. And then some years in your gut, you feel it like it's a day that matters.
Like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this year, like, I think I found, instead of like being in the house and like really down and crying and that sort of thing, I had my moment to like reflect on him, but it brought me so much joy looking, what normally makes me super sad or super pissed is like on social media and seeing people say like stuff like Happy Father's Day to all the zaddies and you know, stuff, just stupid stuff like that. So I typically stay off of social media, but this
Why
year,
does that upset you?
Because it's just like it's almost like a making a mockery of Father's Day.
And you, or, it's like you have one, you lucky POSs.
I'm just like
appreciate it almost.
Yeah. And it's almost like, I get it. Trust me. Like, I know that relationships with family members is not the easiest thing in the book. I get it. Trust me. But you still have that person, and that person's still in your life for a reason. And so even my husband, like, he did not have his father in his life, but his father is still on this earth. And so I'm like,
that's
you need to suck it up.
It's a hard situation. I have a lot of friends like that as well. And I never know, for all my friends who have parents that have passed away, I know that because I like to be reached out to, I always reach out to them. But for the ones who have weird relationships or no relationships, I don't know what that line is, whether it's a text or not text. It's completely different.
Yeah, I honestly don't, for those that still have that opportunity and it's just really, really difficult, I typically don't reach out to those people unless I know personally what they're experiencing. Like, they've vented to me to let me know how they feel, or, you know, I have a friend that's like, I just really miss my dad, but I cannot bring it up on myself to even talk to him. So people like that I reach out to. And
it's interesting, you know, that your husband does not have a relationship with his father. Does that ever, do you ever feel upset by that because he is physically capable of having that relationship? Has that been a point of contention for you guys? Or,
oh yeah, I mean, we've been together for 10 years, and so like year 3 or 4, I think I had a really serious, what Michael Klaus would say, a come to Jesus talk with him, and was like, look, I get that it's hard. He was not in your life. He made wrong decisions, but you still have him. Like, I was so angry. I was like, you have no freaking idea what I would give literally just to hear my dad's voice, just to even see, what the hell did he sound like? What was he like? Was he a dick? Was he nice to everyone? Yeah, like,
to have an opinion on
him. Yeah, to have an opinion.
Because you lost him when you were...
Yeah, I was 13 months old. So I didn't even get a chance to even know, like, did he play with my hair when I was little? Did he... What are some of his mannerisms? Because I do stuff and people are like, oh my gosh, you're Michael's daughter. Because it's so funny. My dad's name is Michael, too.
All the best people are named Michael.
I tell you. But... Mike. He's doing that shrug. What the heck?
Why are you judging that? It's your name, bro.
Kev. But yeah, this year I just relished in everybody else's love. I
you posted.
I loved it.
So people were posting Happy Father's Day, even a lot of afterbuzz with pictures of their dads and them, and you were reposting those, which
yes.
I thought was so beautiful, but also incredibly mature. I think of myself as pretty mature on that day, but I don't know if I could do that. Because I love that my friends have good relationships with their moms, but at the same time, I don't know if I'm going to go reposting pictures of them. that takes a really big person.
It made me so happy just to see, like, especially those who, like, Mina, like, almost brought me to tears. She's on the FaceTime with her dad and posted a screenshot. Like, everybody's pictures. And later on in the evening, I kind of was like, all right, I'm fathered out. Like, I'm too emotional. So I had to stop because I was like, Lord, I'm going to be stuck in this for a whole nother day. But yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see.
I texted another member of the DPC. I texted Kevin Undergaro. I hope he doesn't mind that I share this because this was just the most typical thing ever. I wrote to him saying, thinking about you and your dad today, wish I got to meet the man that made you. And he wrote back, making me tear, and then new text. Still all about the puthe, though, to be clear.
Oh, my God. Love it, you, Kev.
Which was
the best.
I legitimately, spit out my tea. I was laughing so hard because I was like, oh. And then immediate follow-up, still all about the puthe, though.
Still all about the puthe. When you're having a bad day, just remember.
All about the puthe.
It's still all about the puthe. We have another super chat from Butthole Weeb, by the way.
I love
Hello.
That name so much.
It's great.
You know, I'm glad you do love the name because this person is clarifying for $2 in a super chat. Says, a weeb is someone who loves anime. Hello.
Ooh.
And you would think at least 50% of the people in this room would know that.
Steph,
so.
Did you know that? A weeb?
No, not at all. And I like anime.
You know what I was thinking about? Do you guys remember Weebles wobble, but they don't fall
yes,
down?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yes, I remember that cursed commercial.
I've just heard it so many times. That's what I was thinking. Weeb, like a weeble. Huh. Different strokes for different folks. And on that weeb note, I think we have a perfect time to get to the news, Michael Klaus.
Hey.
Give me all that. Give me that judgment, that funk.
Well, I mean, I think we're all going to be able to cast a lot of judgment with the news that is happening today. We're going to start with something that is not as bad and then work our way into the wild craziness.
Okay.
So the first thing is news that actually broke in the last day or two about Avengers coming back into theaters with more footage. So obviously everybody, I hope, in the world knows about Avengers Endgame at this point. It is currently the number 2 box office movie of all time. It's about $44 million behind Avatar. And
man,
so they announced that it is now coming back and they are going to be offering more footage. A lot of that footage will be at the very end. It's coming out in the next couple of weeks. What do you guys think? Are you personally going to go see it? And do you think that it will beat the record?
Okay, a couple different things on this one. So when Feige initially was talking about this, he said, I don't know what footage is going to be released. And then when they clarified, they did say, nothing is going to change about the movie. It's just after the movie, if you stay through the credits, you will see a deleted scene and another surprise. So I think that it's important to educate yourself on this so that to anybody out there, so that if you decide to spend your anywhere from $5 to $30, depending on what part of the country you live on, on this ticket, you know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want anybody going to this movie and thinking this is going to be like Lord of the Rings extended cut, where it's an extra half an hour of footage, and this is the only time to see it. This probably will already be on the Blu-ray release when you ultimately end up getting that. So if you were going to go see the movie again anyway, this is a great time to go. Or if you are a diehard and want to see this deleted scene, this is a great time to go. Or if you hadn't had a chance to get to the theater yet and you've been living under a rock and didn't have an heard of this movie and now all of a sudden it's coming to you, fine, this is a great time to go. I have zero problem with them doing this. They are so close to beating Avatar.
Why not?
They absolutely should. Avatar re-released, I think, 3 times.
And Avatar, in its re-release, made roughly about $35 million. So this is really, I think, a huge math game of will they beat it? Again,
They re-released
Avatar multiple times. They are $44 million behind.
So, to be clear, Avatar beat the record prior to re-releasing.
Yes.
So they didn't re-release to beat the record. They had already beat the record. Then they re-released, and that's how much more they made. Avengers has not beat the record and would be re-releasing, which is why it's a little bit different. But still, at this point, Avengers would have beat the record had Avatar not re-released. Does that make sense to everybody?
Totally.
Yeah.
Do you think, Roxy, that they had this re-release planned? They needed it.
It's not that they needed it. If I was this close to something, I would go for it as well. You're not hurting anybody. I don't understand why there's such an uproar about this being a cash grab. It's a business. They're trying to make money. They're trying to make records.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything wrong. Talk to me. I don't get
reputation. That's the only thing I look at is, personally, if I saw this, and again, we're looking at the spectrum, as Kev would say, looking at the spectrum of everything, I would personally hold out knowing that they're just trying to do a cash grab. And I view it as, come on.
But I feel like when it goes down in history, no one will look at it like that.
Probably.
I didn't know about Avatar.
Exactly.
I already see the Marvel franchise as a cash grab.
Which is what businesses should be trying to do, make money.
Also make people like me and Roxy's lives.
So happy. I think I will, if I am not working the entire weekend, which I believe I am, but if I have 3 hours somewhere to spare, I will go see this again this weekend. Because A, I was planning on going again anyway. B, I'd like to see that deleted scene. Maybe it's badass. And C, I want to support them in passing Avatar.
Yeah.
It's a better movie. It deserves to pass it with all of the love and buzz that it's had. And I also just think I'm a huge fan of this franchise. Now let's give Avatar something to race to. They're coming out with new movies. It's just good for business for this to keep going and do well. It's not like they've re-released this 7 times and they're dragging their feet. It's one. It's fine.
And think about how much cast and crew is involved in this movie. Like, even more than Avatar, even though that had, like, a lot of production in the background. But this is, like, an entire cast that's worked for years. And there's people like my roommate who is a massive Marvel fan, but she literally has been on an insane production schedule, hasn't been able to see it. And now she actually will because she was able to see Captain Marvel.
So that's exactly... Maybe Michael, you can be like, it's not for you. But for the people out there that are angry about this, it's such a weird thing to be angry about.
Yeah, there are definitely more things.
Yeah.
Another Playboy article, Rox?
This would be a great one to do it about. You know, I will say I pitched them 2 articles that got shut down this week.
Oh, no. We were off to such a good start.
Yeah, you know, Game Roxy, of Thrones is easy, but yeah.
You got to just maybe show a little boob.
I thought that's how it works.
I thought Playboy liked things in sets of twos.
Just kidding.
They were so great about it, but I'm pitching things that they're like I wanted to. I pitched them because did you guys see in the news Jennifer Aniston came out and said if Friends was real life, Ross and Rachel are still together today.
Yeah.
And that just made my whole life complete. However, Ross and Rachel are actually an incredibly toxic couple that probably shouldn't be together. So I wanted to do a think piece on Ross and Rachel. And they were like, the last episode of Friends aired 15 years ago. It's not like quite topical enough for us.
And?
Oh my gosh.
So I was like,
definitely. Thank you.
But they want me doing some stuff on Big Little Lies. So I'm going to be doing stuff for that.
My life.
Yeah, me too.
My heart.
I'm obsessed.
So, I have another super chat.
Hey, bring on the super chat.
I know, right?
Bitches.
Oh, yes. From Butthole Weave. I'm just saying.
I'm obsessed with you.
Everybody is.
Get Sam to work with that gas money, butthole.
Yeah. For $5 says, your story is touching. Speaking of mine, thank you so much.
So
but more importantly, what's your favorite anime? I recommend Gosek Romance Murder Mystery. So for the peeps that do love anime, What's your favorite anime?
Steph, you said you're a big anime gal.
I have to go old school and say Avatar The Last Airbender.
Pretty epic.
It's just such... It was so progressive for its time, and it's crazy. It's such a good story.
Can I say Akira just because... You know, I'm Takira.
Yes, you can.
I do really like Akira.
100%.
By the way, if you guys are listening on audio, you are missing the wonderful memes that Stephen Lemieux created for tonight's show. We have a lot for the news. Also, if you would like to be able to vote, we did put a poll on our Twitter of if you will be going to see the new Avengers Endgame when it returns. You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at The Tomorrow Show.
Yeah, nice. Michael. Vote in those polls, baby.
Woo. That's a good poll. Good poll.
I love this meme.
Michael going up and down the polls, right?
Hey.
Wow. Heyo, heyo. I'm going to go vote in the poll right now. Michael, what else do we have?
There we go. Well, we just got one yes. Was that you, Roxy?
No.
Were you the yes?
No, I'm not. I haven't voted yet. Oh. I'm making my way to the poll. I'm not that quick. You know, it takes. Sometimes you gotta work up to the pole.
Yeah, you gotta stretch and stuff first.
That's
yeah.
a life Jeez. Lesson for mm-hmm. everyone. You have to work
up. You have to
up
work up to the pole. Will you go see Avengers Endgame, Michael? Are you hoping people say no?
No, I'm curious. I'm gonna be a no, but people can definitely do whatever they would like.
Why did you put Michael? Did you tweet that one personally?
Yes.
Why did you put bonus in quotation marks?
Because we don't know what the bonus is.
He's being shady. He's being judgmental via tweet. Right?
It's a little bit of shade.
He said, will you go, shade. This is what he said. He said, will you go see Avengers Endgame when it returns to theaters with bonus footage?
How it's just bonus leading.
Footage. It's not like so-called bonus footage.
Right. Here's the thing. If I knew that they had planned it out prior and actually had some amazing Gosh. Footage that they were just leaving out to be able to throw in, I would use bonus and regular. But now that I know you're trying to scrounge together something, by the way, this is scrounge together in case you're watching on YouTube.
All right.
Then I put
well,
it in quotation.
A lot of people bonus. In the chat have said that they voted. Garth McMurray, WWE front row, Brandy, all judging, not judging, I'm sorry, voting on Michael's judgmental poll. Thank
currently
you, everybody.
We're at,
bonus
currently
footage.
We're at 70% to 30% yes versus no. So we'll continue to follow that. We'll update you at the end of the show. So this movie obviously could get really good news based on the fact that it could do number one overall, which is an incredible feat. But there is another movie that is having some bad publicity and bad news right now, and that is actually a movie called The Witches, which is developing right now as there was someone stabbed on the set of this movie, and that Oof. Is a movie with Anne Hathaway. She is the lead star of this movie.
This is based off the Roald Dahl books, The Witches, if you guys remember The Witches, which was an epic book.
So good.
So good. And we've already seen they've done the BFG and translated some of his other work. So this was supposed to be a fun, wonderful project, but Michael, you're telling me otherwise?
It is. Well, it's not fun and wonderful right now. Hopefully they can turn it around, but there has been two people arrested after one person was stabbed in the neck with a box cutter.
So,
oh my gosh.
I will tell you guys that when Michael and I were at Coffee Scam before this, Michael let me know that, and I said, on purpose? He said, Rox, I don't think that happens on accident. I was kind of hoping that somebody was flailing their arms about and on accident used this cutter to... No, this was an attack via knife.
Yes, there was, according to sources and people on set, which there were about 100 people on set, so a lot of people were able to witness this, that there was a little bit of a scuffle earlier in the day, and then there was this actual stabbing. It took place between a rigger and a stagehand, and again, two people have been arrested. One is the main person, another person who was also slightly involved in the scuffle, according to what Daily Mail is reporting. So a lot of information coming around. Obviously not a good look for Warner Brothers. This took place on the Warner Brothers set where almost all of Harry Potter was actually filmed over in the UK, which is also that they have tours every single day.
Yeah.
They literally have where the Harry Potter was filmed. They have tours every day. So we'll be following this to
That's
see.
It's really
exactly
upsetting.
What
yeah.
Because as you guys might not know, I am a witch. So this is just disrespectful to our franchise.
Steph, I knew. Are you questioning my ability?
No,
to...
you always
I knew.
Know. I knew. It's for the others. Like, Michael, because he just looked at me like I'm Satan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm currently moving on.
Well, speaking of maybe a little Satan, we do have another super chat.
Yes, Butthole?
From Butthole, yes.
Oh my God, I love Butthole.
Slay Butthole, so, slay.
Slay Butthole, slay. Well, all super chats get read, but we don't always discuss, right? So, discuss. For $2, Butthole Weeb says, You Toolbox. Avatar isn't an anime, not from Japan. Moving on.
Oh, okay, you're talking about... That's, like, specific, but yeah. Whatever.
You, Steph, don't fight it. You're a toolbox.
Toolbox. Oh. Dragon Ball Z, whatever.
You are a toolbox witch. Toolbox.
Toolbox.
Hey,
my bad.
$2 in Sam's gas tank. Thank you for the super chat.
Yo, yeah. Yo, TB, you a witch in there?
TB.
Toolbox witch.
That's so good. I think that the other thing that I can just hear Kevin saying in my head right now about this knife situation is... There are 100 people on set. You guys, if you want to stab somebody, you don't want to do it somewhere a little more private? Mm. Like, you are for sure going to get caught when you stab someone on set.
Super.
Hit them in the parking lot. Wait till they get home.
Dang, follow them home? Roxy, straight savage.
I'm not saying you should, but if you're going to stab someone, don't have 100 witnesses.
Agreed.
I think this definitely for a lot of people is maybe eye-opening of the stresses that are on set sometimes. These are not always happy-go-lucky scenes where, oh, we get to make movies every day. When you have a multi-million dollar production and you have so many people counting on things...
It's heavy.
Michael, it can get heavy.
I've certainly wanted to stab people on set, but you don't do that. You just don't. You
clearly
don't be that
she knows,
person.
Clearly
well,
you know how to.
Roxy, as we find out in these next couple of stories, there's a lot of things that we might think about doing but probably shouldn't. And one person who's reeling from that is John Cusack, who learned what to retweet. And what not to retweet. In this case,
break
it's the
this
latter.
Down. Break it down.
So John Cusack is finally actually taking the blame and apologizing for something that he originally blamed on a bot, which was an anti-Semitic tweet. And he tweeted an image that showed a blue Star of David above the hand pushing down on a group of people. And it had a quote on it that said, quote, "To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize." And he originally, he added to that, follow the money. And so he originally said, oh, it was a bot that retweeted this before deleting it.
For our YouTube people, can you guys pull up the actual tweet? It is deleted, yes. But you can find it still. Here's the thing about this tweet and this imagery. I will say this once. It is slightly confusing what it's actually saying, but never at any point do you look at this and think it could be anything other than anti-Semitic. There is a massive Star of David in a hand that is pushing people down. Even if you don't read what it says, just looking at it's 2019. You want to tweet this image out? Second of all, the entire internet erupted with, but John Cusack's Jewish. That's, I don't know where people got that. That's not true. First of all, it's just not true.
Interesting.
Second of all, that's not the most relevant part of this. He obviously realized it was messed up, so he lied and said it was a bot, then got caught.
But didn't he apologize first and then lied
first
about it
being a bot? First apologized that it happened, then said it was a bot, then apologized again. Just
I'm confused.
So many so what confused. The actual F. And now I'm not sitting here saying that John Cusack is anti-Semitic. I don't know him, and I don't know if he really is so dumb that he thought that this was, as he claimed, anti-Israel, not anti-Semitic, or whatever it was that he was thinking. But this is the actual dumbest thing I've ever seen somebody do in 2019, thinking that it wasn't going to have backlash. Like, he tweeted this thinking that it was a casual tweet. Oh yeah, gosh. Maybe we'll get some likes. Follow the money. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. Is it not obvious? Jewish star pushing down people. What are you...
Apparently it's not obvious to John Cusack. That's what we're learning.
But that's what I'm saying. So you're either anti-Semitic or actually a moron. Because you have to be so dumb to look at this and be like, yeah, that's fine.
So, Roxy, I want to move this discussion a little bit, because this has been a big thing the last couple months with politicians and obviously the U.S.-Israel relations and Israel and Palestine. Is there a line that people can stick on that is critiquing versus not anti-Semitic, critiquing the U.S. relationship with Israel?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, Israel and Israelis and Jews are different. It's a different set of people. So that's completely different. Second of all, if you're educated on the matter and or you live there, you have a different voice. Do you think that John Cusack has any idea what he's talking about? Like, this is somebody who has literally zero education on an extremely complicated situation. And if you know nothing about it, just look at how long it's taken them to not solve anything. It's been so many years where the relations there have been so bad. Don't you think if it was a really simple solution that it wouldn't be like that for that amount of time? So even if you know nothing about it, just know how complex it is. And then for John Cusack to be like, yeah, but I bet that they figure it out in this meme. Yeah, this is the meme that will figure it out. That's the problem. So, Michael, I have no problem with anybody being, frankly, making educated statements on either side. And as a Jew, I do feel fairly educated in this field because my grandmother lives in Israel. And we talk about it a ton. And so I have somebody on the ground there. I've also been to Israel. And it was part of our Jewish studies growing up also. But I still, many days, don't feel educated enough to weigh in, because if you are not up to date on the current day-to-day, you should shut up.
Yeah, yeah. Well said, Rox. And one of our AfterBuzz hosts, Yell, brought the, it was in one of the show Law & Order episode. They kind of did a play on Ilhan Omar and her quote-unquote anti-Semitic statements, and
what, she, somebody that resembled her, or they had her, how,
yeah, they basically made like a congresswoman saying something that was actually anti-Semitic, but Ilhan Omar's comments can be argued that they were not in fact at all anti-Semitic. And y'all made this great point that, like what you said, and you can be anti-Semitic and you can be anti-Israel, and they're two completely separate things. One is religion and one is a country's policies.
And this John Cusack thing was very clearly anti-Semitic.
100 You have a Jewish yeah, like, and it's like, yeah,
it's just, what are you thinking?
And it's,
this
over
is not
like
a flag,
people,
it's not a flag, it's not, this is a neo-Nazi symbol that you have used to that says follow the money.
Yeah, which is also a Jewish slur.
Exactly. What?
Yeah.
And then the bot and the not. It just was so. I like him. I've never. I think he's talented. I haven't seen things like this from him in the past. So I've been trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But was he hammered? Like, what? Why? Why did you do this?
It's just a topic, if you really don't know what you're about to say, do not say it.
Because, exactly, because the people who know what they're going to say still put their foot in their mouth.
Yeah, I'm included, where I'm very, like, involved in politics and human rights issues, and it's super, both of those issues have to do with Israel and Palestine right now, and I don't say anything because it's decades of issues that are built up that I can't put my head around right now.
Exactly. So, just dumbass move.
We have a couple of super chats before we got time.
Yeah.
All right. Here.
We always have time
got
for them.
Time for the super chats. Garth McWherry for $2 says Roxy's Boston is showing with her stabbing advice.
Garth,
just
you're the
saying
best.
It.
Garth is awesome. And yeah, we know how to do it in Boston. I'm just saying. I'm not going to stab you, but if I am going to stab you, I'm certainly going to slip in your DMs and send you knives. Okay, OJ?
Dang. We'll definitely move on to OJ. We do have one more super chat from Butthole Weeb, our fave for the night.
Butthole.
The tool shed loves you, Butthole.
The tool shed.
Tool box.
Oh, whatever.
TB, remember?
TB.
So, Butthole Weeb for $5 says, this podcast may be boring, but oof, the blonde on here. You single sweetheart, you gotta watch the good anime. Listen to What Are These Podcasts, and take notes.
Butthole, first of all, I've been called so many things in life. Boring has never been one of them. And also, thank you for noticing my blonde hair. I'm actually getting it done again next week.
Hey!
All right, Michael, move
us
forward.
Well, just like John Cusack's tweets are out there, someone else's something is now out there. And now we're all kind of breaking it down of appropriateness versus someone actually being able to do that. So we're talking about Bella Thorne's nude photos. And these photos surfaced via Bella herself after she said that she was having someone threaten to put them out. So she put them out herself, said no one is going to be able to kind of hold these over me. I'm going to do that. And now other people are kind of commenting of, should you even take those? And one of the lead voices on that is Whoopi Goldberg. And Whoopi is saying, quote, once you take that picture, it goes into the cloud and it's available for any hacker who wants them. If you don't know that in 2019 that this is an issue, I'm sorry, your age does not, you don't get to do that. Bella Thorne replies and said, shame on you. I really don't want to go on The View anymore because I don't really want to be beaten down by a bunch of older women for my body and my sexuality. So this is now a big thing. There have been several prominent females in the entertainment industry who have had appropriate and inappropriate photos, depending on which way you look at it, hacked and being able to be put out there. Where do you guys stand on this? Of taking those photos, not taking those photos, celebrity, not celebrity?
1,000%. I am with Bella Thorne. I think that what Whoopi said is so incredibly fucked up, and I don't even know if Whoopi realized what she was doing at the time. And I'm just counting down the minutes till the apology, because I don't think it's come yet, but it should and it will if she knows what's right. To answer your question, Michael, being famous should have nothing to do with what you can do with your body and your privacy and on your own phone. And to think that this is anybody's fault except the person that is the perv who's trying to hack her and threaten her and blackmail her. Shame on you, Whoopi, for doing that, because if what you were trying to vocalize was, hey, ladies out there, be careful, because in this day and age, anybody can hack your phone, you did that so poorly. And if that's not what you're trying to vocalize, then you need to reassess the situation, because what Bella does with her body is her own business. And I'm so impressed that she leaked these photos. First of all, not on purpose, but I did see them. They pop, whatever it was.
Yeah.
She looks amazing. She's a gorgeous woman. She looks incredible. She has nothing to hide. And number two, I've said this so many times before about myself. I even believe you guys have heard me say this. Attack, if you want to come at me and dig up dirt on me, something that I don't want out there, fine. If you want to find something about me, fine. My body, that's the worst you've got? You're threatening me with my body? How unoriginal and moronic are you? Fine. My body is great. I'm proud of it. I work really hard on it. Yeah. Do I think it's right that she had to put this out to the world? No. But that's the worst you could do to her? What an idiot. Mission not accomplished.
I think I'm trying to give Whoopi the benefit of the doubt, because truthfully, I personally do feel that when you send out a picture or whatever, you kind of have to, in the back of your head, know that you're putting, there's a freaking fly, that you're putting that, you're giving that person a piece of, they could get pissed at you and just like release it. So I do feel like Whoopi, maybe, hopefully, she was trying to make that message of, look, you can't take pictures and not really think that there's a risk. Kind of like you can't have sex and think that there's not a risk of maybe getting pregnant or maybe getting an STD. I'm hoping that she's trying to do a poor job at explaining that. But if she's fine with her body and she's fine, like who, like you said, like who cares? Like, I sexed my husband all the time. Have I sexted other people before my husband? Of course. But like you said, I'm proud of my body. And it'll suck because it's like an invasion of privacy. So I feel like that would be the thing that hurts the most. Yeah. But if it gets out, it gets, I mean.
Do you think that Whoopi is making the argument of saying just because you can and you can, doesn't mean that you should if you're a celebrity?
It's just I think it's completely misspoken on what she's usually on the right side of this, but there is a massive difference between the older generation of feminists and the newer generation of feminists, where instead of placing blame on what happens and us having to constantly live in fear of every action because of the actions of men, we are like, no, we need to be condemning the actions of men, not what we choose to do with our like freedom.
Right. Yes, exactly. Completely. And hearing Kevin's words, but we can only deal with what is.
Right.
The truth is men, women, anybody who has nude pictures of somebody else is capable of leaking those these days. That is possible. So do I think that Bella is stupid and thought, there is 0% chance if I take this nude picture, anyone will ever see it that isn't the one person I sent it to? No. But does she have faith in humanity, whoever was receiving it at that moment? Yes. And is the problem that she sent it? No. The problem is what he did. So if you don't want something out there, yes, you should not take it, of course.
Should people act with caution? And what advice would each of you give to, if you had a daughter who was, you know, Generation Z, 20 to 21, 22, maybe getting into that stage, what advice would you give? And would you advise caution to any one of your friends?
I would say don't text homophobic, racist, or sexist things. Don't feel those ways. I wouldn't say anything about her body. Like, what do I not want my children to do or feel? To be bigots. That's where our attention needs to be. And no, if my daughter comes to me and says, should I send this nudie? Am I going to encourage it? No, but that's not where my focus is. You have to inform your kids of what can happen. But
exactly.
Like, why is it that we hear about these nude leaks all of the time, but it's so rare that it takes 8 people to bring down one effing writer or director saying rape. And it takes one person and news everywhere to leak a naked picture of a woman. Like, the news system is so backwards in this sense. And I don't know. I date myself here so much. I don't exactly know why Bella Thorne is famous. It's not like I'm a diehard Bella Thorne girl. I think that she's an actress. She's hot, followings. She's hot. It's not like I'm sitting here and I'm being like, I stan Bella Thorne. I've got to protect her. She's not my person to protect. But I'm so impressed by her after this that now I am a fan.
And dealing with what is, what you said, she did deal with it. She said, fuck it, I'll leak it myself. And so what was the problem was the reaction. So any warning that we could have given her, it didn't matter because she dealt with it. It's not like she didn't know the repercussions. Obviously, she did, and she handled it.
This was the strangest part about the whole situation. Whoopi saying, if you're famous, I don't care how old you are, you don't take nude pictures of yourself. What does this... What?
I think she's...
Why is she focusing on the fame aspect of it?
Because it's the world that we... And I say we because we're in the entertainment industry. Again, I'm somewhat playing devil's advocate on this. But I think what Whoopi is saying is you have to take precautions.
But shouldn't anybody have to take
precautions? No, but listen. But there are things that all of us do in our everyday lives that you say no to because you're pursuing a priority. It's the same reason probably why Tom Brady or any other athlete doesn't ride a motorcycle. Does that mean that you can't ride a motorcycle? No, but you assume the risk of riding a motorcycle and getting hurt and it affecting your career. So I think that is what Whoopi is saying.
But wouldn't this affect somebody's career who's on Wall Street, who's a lawyer,
It absolutely would, but the entertainment industry is a whole other beast.
Right. She just worded it wrong.
I think she worded it wrong.
I'm hoping.
Me too.
I love Whoopi. I've always loved Whoopi.
I agree with what Whoopi is saying is that we do need to be able to take some precautions.
Yeah.
And you're choosing priorities. Every day we choose priorities of if you weigh the risk versus weighing the reward.
I think that's exactly what Bella did. She did that.
I mean, she did.
She weighed it. Yeah. She took it. She sent it. And when it came to the table, she put them out herself. That was her weighing. It might not be the choice that you would make.
Yeah.
May not even be the choice that I would make. I'm not sure.
It's just I think 100% it's a generational difference. Like Steph said, she is an older woman. She's like, don't put yourself out there. And we younger generation, we're just like, fuck, it's just my boobs. Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, you know who else is hot rocks?
Who?
You are, Sunshine.
Butthole?
Butthole is sliding in the super chat for another $5.
Wow. Butthole.
Says, I'll dig up dirt on you. Your podcast is boring, but you are beautiful. Want to watch anime? Hashtag in my Joey from Friends voice. How you doing?
How you doing, Whoa. Butthole?
Also,
why does it even bother me when Butthole says that it's boring?
Why? Because it doesn't stick?
No, it doesn't stick. And he also said, or he or she also says, Sam Roberts, your podcast sucks, but whatever. I will say,
does he subscribe? Thanks anyway, baby.
I know, right? I will say, I think you got her, Butthole, because Friends is one of her favorite
that
shows.
That is true, Butthole. That
well
is
played.
True.
Well played. Before we move on, just to add that Zendaya, Tyler Posey, and Lucy Hale have all come and stand on the side of Bella Thorne.
I mean, I think nobody's going to stand on the side of Whoopi. You would have to be.
I bet Roseanne would.
Oh, Lord. What other topics? Jeez.
Well, as we move from this topic into one very similar, we talked about last week about Max Landis and the accusations. Well, this has not been a good couple of days for Max because significantly more women, a total of 8, have now come forward accusing him of sexual abuse and psychological manipulation. All these kind of date back to 2008. Now, again, Landis is a writer and producer and director in Hollywood, the son of director John Landis, and a number, again, more women have come forward. One woman alleged that Landis held her down and raped her. Mm. He would deliberately humiliate her because he wanted to have sex with her while she was crying. 2 more women describe accounts of alleged sexual misconduct on movie sets. Does this surprise you? I mean, in the past week that we've had more women come forward about him?
You want to know what's interesting, Michael, is it's not actually more women coming forward. It's them actually getting the spotlight finally. These women came forward a decade ago, which is the part that we need to really look at. Like many of these women started coming forward years ago. And same thing with the Bryan Singer situation. A lot of these Me Too situations that are coming out, it's not the first time we've heard an accusation on any of them.
Yeah.
So that's the part of this. Oh my God, Stephen Lemieux made us a shady bunch.
I love his memes, first of all.
Max Landis made his way onto this shady bunch, I guess. It's disgusting what he's done. B, it's disgusting how long it's taken society to believe these women or even give them the chance to speak. And I feel like had Whitney Moore not tweeted this past week, this Daily, and I believe somebody tweeted right before her as well, this Daily Beast article would not have come out, even though these stories have already been out there. But now people are hearing them, and that's why people say hashtag believe women.
And we talked last week that he was involved with a project with Chloe Grace Moretz. He has since been officially removed as a producer from that. And there is actually another person as we continue on this, you know, very same Me Too thread. Cuba Gooding Jr. also facing allegations. He had faced allegations about a week ago, was not charged, an alleged groping attempt. He has since been charged in that, and a second person has come through saying that she was 16 when he acted inappropriately in a physical manner towards her. He has said that he never did these things, that he, quote, doesn't know this individual through his attorney. Do you guys see this as something that could move forward and more women coming out against Cuba Gooding? Have either of you or any of you heard anything about him?
I think that most likely, if these women are coming forward, there will be more women.
Yeah.
Just based off these stories, he's been in the industry for so long.
So long.
That it would be very uncharacteristic of something like this, someone like this, to only have 2 incidents.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying only as in those don't matter. I'm saying only as in typically people are repeat offenders. So I would be really surprised if this was the last that we heard. I had heard some creepy things about Cuba Gooding Jr. I remember one time I heard a story that somebody told me that they saw him. They were at a club and they saw him like upskirt a girl.
Oh, that's great. That's amazing.
But I
wait, are you? You're moving your hand with his hand or with a phone?
With his hand. With
okay.
his hand.
Okay. Which is actually very similar to one of the allegations here, the one against the 16-year-old.
Uh-huh. So I had heard that, but it was a person who had saw it, who was intoxicated.
Yeah.
And it was the only time I ever heard of anything with him. So, and it wasn't from the person. So I don't know. But I would be pretty surprised if more people don't start coming forward. And would this affect him? Yeah, of course. We're in a Me Too era where you actually are held accountable for what you do. So
surprised.
That is the next question in terms of this, because both of the incidents against him, one happened a few years ago from what we're reading. One happened several years ago, I think almost in the 90s. And they're both incidents that it doesn't seem like there could be a lot of evidence. So how do you think these should be handled?
It's so hard to hear you say that, Michael, because I know that technically speaking that's true. But for me, and I will get crap for this, somebody saying something is evidence. That's evidence. Like somebody recounting a story is evidence. So that's kind of all I need from this situation. But I think that what, as a society, we've been doing recently is strength in numbers. And if 2 more people, 3 more people, 5 more people, 8 more people, 12 more people all say the same thing, even if there isn't the hard evidence that you're talking about, I think that that will be the turning point for society looking at this.
I honestly, as much as I don't agree with what's going on, I cannot say that I agree with that. I hope in my heart that power in numbers is not the way that we make decisions, because that's just a completely effed up world if that is.
What are you thinking? What are you
just
hoping?
Because I mean, you have to, I think you have to have evidence of things. Like, yeah, rape is not the easiest thing in the book to prove, but there are rape kits. There are like
that work within 72 hours.
Exactly. You have to be educated enough to take it. And I've known plenty of friends and I have a personal experience of my own that you just don't know how to handle that situation. But at the end of the day, there are ways, especially with technology, with, you know, I'm in the telecommunications industry and we use pings of cell towers. Are they the same? Like, there are ways that a lot of people don't realize how you can have evidence to back up your story.
Well, there are ways
that
a lot
of people don't know.
There's ways to prove you were in the same location. It's very hard to prove what happened.
That was just a very broad example.
But no, I know, but that's very indicative of how people look at these. And Kira, I hear you. But I'm so on the other side of this. I do believe that evidence is important, and when you have it, you have it. But
you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the Exonerated Five, 100%. There was power in numbers, and 5 young boys went to jail for something that they didn't do.
But they also said that they didn't do it. Like, we didn't believe people.
Right.
But the problem in that situation, Takira, wasn't that she wasn't raped. It was that they got
100%.
The wrong people.
Yeah, 100%.
So in these situations, they're claiming that these women have never been raped.
I'm in the middle of, I don't know. I'm at a hard place with this because I feel what Roxy's saying, and I think
different circumstance.
Yeah,
like, I get it.
But
no one case is the same.
I think that legally things could maybe not happen, and we need to evolve as a legal community in the way that we legislate a lot of crimes. And hopefully with technology, we keep getting better at able to like understand what was done or what happened. But socially, a gift that we have been given is that we can outcast people who there is enough proof and there's enough people saying
right.
something happened, where I mean, who's to say one's worse than the other? Being socially outcasted where you can't get work, you can't do all of this is a punishment in itself.
I certainly don't want to make it seem like I'm saying that Cuba Gooding is innocent, and I know
no,
I think
you're not.
You guys understand that, but for people listening, I think the biggest thing to come from this is hopefully in the future that people speak out immediately and they are believed immediately, because
right.
in the immediate you can go in and you can look at security cameras and you can look at footage from bars and being able to see things. And I think that is what I hope is the major turning point.
I think hopefully, if those things are available.
It's an impossible request.
Yeah.
Because it's an impossible request to put on these people that they need to do something immediately. But what I will say to anybody who finds themselves in a situation like this, and you don't know how to use your mind in that moment, because how could you?
Right.
The one thing to try to remember is to try to go to the hospital to get swabbed, because even if you do not want to do anything with it at that moment,
and you don't have to. A lot of people think you do.
Or even if you don't want to do anything with that at any moment, you want to be able to give yourself the possibility and the options
when you're ready, if you ever are ready.
And I certainly wish that they taught us that in school.
Yeah,
and
same.
There's so many things that I learned when I was older that would have been very helpful when we were younger. And I think that for anybody who doesn't know that you have rights, you are protected, you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. But if you ever do want to try to prove something, just the 1% chance that you might want to, go make sure that you have what Michael is talking about, which is hard evidence, because that will help your case a lot.
Well, on the scale of creepy, let's just take it up a notch, because
we got a
competition going on between two men who not really viewed well in society, but they're still on Twitter, that being O.J. Simpson and Bill Cosby. So O.J. just recently joined Twitter.
Gotta love the juice.
Bill had been on Twitter for almost a decade. O.J. up to 650,000 followers on Twitter after he joined just one day after the 25th anniversary of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Roger Goldman. And he posted a video and said, "Your boy is on Twitter," ending with, quote, "I've got a lot of getting even to do." And he has since done a couple different videos, one of them talking about the Kardashians and addressing the rumors about him possibly being Khloe Kardashian's dad, to which he denied. And then Bill goes on Twitter and just wants to do something nice. And so he wishes everybody a very happy Father's Day. What is going on in the world of Twitter with these people?
First question for you guys. Do any of you follow either of these people on Twitter?
Yes.
Fuck, you do?
No.
I only, to be honest, yeah. I only Pick follow Juice. I only follow Juice because Michael Klaus sent us a group text and was like, the man is on Twitter. And I went in, hit follow, just so I could potentially maybe arrange some guest booking.
And
maybe.
I see your name on this photo.
Oh, your name is on the photo. So this is edited from Stephen Lemieux.
Gosh.
This is not actually his profile picture, though it clearly fits.
I need to unfollow.
There were a lot of fake accounts that came up when you look in his.
I saw that.
And those accounts are blowing up right now.
That's
also
not actually his bio, though, just to clarify. Yeah. Is it?
No.
Okay, because I haven't looked at it.
Kill you.
Okay.
But there are also people going around because they're saying Juice doesn't understand when you DM somebody, they can still screenshot it and put it out there. There was this thing, did you guys see, about him sending the knives?
I did. And so he allegedly, because it has not been proven of whether it was
Photoshop or what,
where some other OJ account was messaging him and he replied with a bunch of knife emojis.
Because that account had tweeted some very hot, mean things about the Juice.
Yes. And so it says that it was from, I'm not even going to say, I don't even want to put this out there.
Yeah, don't.
So everybody
don't
knows what
it.
His actual Twitter is, but it came from his actual Twitter account. And we do not know at this point whether it was actually from his account. It has not been proven. Would any of us be surprised? No.
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 This is...
If I tweeted it.
Yeah. So this begs the question, which has actually been very prominent on Twitter the last couple of months, because they've banned certain people politically on both sides. Should Twitter police who can and cannot use their platform?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think that anybody should be able to use it, and then we in turn should be able to follow or not follow anybody we want. So
I think if you are, if there's a blatant, like, you're not following the rules, which are very, very simple, like you're spreading full-on hate and like inciting violence, that's a little different. Like, I feel like,
but that's not who. Yeah, I agree with you there. They should be able to police what some people, but not in general.
Oh, like who can
up,
join?
Who can,
yeah,
join?
Totally.
That was the question, Michael. Who can join, right?
Or who can
who can tweet? Who can be a part of it? Who can we? Should we have OJ? Should we have Bill? Should we have Alex Jones?
Answering that question, I stand by what I say. Talking about what Steph saying, I don't think you should be allowed to say, like you said, incite violence or anything of that kind. So that I think should be policed, or harass somebody, or send unwanted images, messages, hate crimes, like any of those things. But I don't think they should be able to decide who joins. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, as this is going on social media, I want to turn it over to Miss Steph Sabra, who can educate us on the next story, which you might have seen on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, people changing their profile pictures to be blue. Steph, why is that?
Yes, so it's to raise awareness for the crisis that's going on in Sudan. There's been an uproar in violence. So the Matter Blue movement started this after the death of Mohamed Hashim Matar, a 26-year-old engineer and graduate of London's Brunel University, who was killed in the crackdown on June 3rd. His profile picture at the time was this blue circle. And so people are doing this to raise awareness. Instagram user Resolve's photo went viral for her post encouraging the photo people to change their profile picture. Since then, celebrities like Demi Lovato and Yara Shahidi have also changed their profile picture in solidarity. And it all started because last week Sudan's security forces opened fire on unarmed protesters holding a sit-in outside military headquarters. And doctors and activists have said that more than 100 people have been killed since. And also, all these deaths mark the deadliest incident since Omar al-Bashir, the country's dictator for 30 years, was forced from power and arrested by the military in April following months of mass protests. So, and there's been multiple, many cases of rape that have been reported, but there's been a blackout on almost all the telephone and internet services so that they can't get this information out. So now this is the way people are trying to call attention to it.
I was educated more on the matter also by a show that Steph and I love, Patriot Act, Hasan Minhaj, who I think does a great job of breaking it down when you don't know what's going on, and just kind of explaining without the Michael judginess, just letting us know what's happening, but then also there's some levity to it as well. I can't believe how ignorant I was and still kind of feel to what's happening in Sudan. It's insane and disturbing and disgusting. And as many issues as we have here, it makes me feel bad about some of my complaints because I'm like, it's so, so messed up. And time to stop digging our heads in the sand or burying our heads in the sand. You have to pay attention. Steph, I was glad to see your blue circle, and anybody else who wants to join her, I would encourage that. Michael, what else we have?
A little, just an input, if you don't mind. Stephen Lemieux in the chat brings up an interesting point. Says, I think they should have exclusive profile pictures that cost money to support causes. So in turn, like if you're going to post the blue circle or something like that, that you have to pay in order to do so to raise awareness, I'm assuming is what you mean, Stephen. So what do you guys think about that?
I like what he's saying because I think he's sick and tired of people saying they're supporting something and not, but not in this situation where there's not awareness. This is literally about raising awareness, not about raising funds. So this is something, you know, know, there's situations that when there's a natural disaster in the United States and everybody knows
like
what's happening,
pray for
but
whatever.
People say that and they're not actually doing what we need, which is donating, as opposed to this, where I think you poll 100 Americans on the street and 5 of them have any clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I will say that I've gotten more than 20 messages asking what it is, and I've been able to provide the information that I read to you all. And also in the bio of my Instagram, I have another website that links to multiple organizations that you can donate to and get involved with, two of which I have been involved with. I don't post unless I actually do something.
Yes,
but I see where he's coming from, because there is like this total fakeage that we have in terms of being a humanitarian.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
Steph, she makes my heart melt.
Earlier on, Takira, I know that you mentioned the Central Park Five, and there was something that horrified me that happened this week regarding that. Michael?
You know, Rox, we want to say it horrifies us, and then at the end of the day, we think, no, this is actually who this man is. This man.
Oh, I didn't say surprised.
Oh,
I said
horrified. That's true. It still should horrify us. So obviously the Central Park 5 documentary movie on Netflix is getting rave reviews, and it is actually, you know, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. There's several episodes. It does a great job of documenting what actually took place around these five men who were initially accused and sentenced to jail for the rape of a jogger in Central Park in 1989. Because that is on the forefront of everyone's minds, Trump was asked about it this week and said, quote, they admitted their guilt. He said, why do you bring this question up now? It's an interesting time to bring it up. Quote, you have people on both sides of that, something he needs to stop saying in general.
Oh, let's I love that. I love his phrase of that.
Let's just agree.
He's just so peaceful. He sees says, from all angles.
They admitted their guilt. If you look at Linda Fairstein and if you look at some of the prosecutors, they think that the city should never have settled that case, so we'll leave it at that.
What do you guys think he meant when he said interesting time?
It screams ignorance, which means he has not watched it. He doesn't know about it. He's been living under, you know, the White House rock. I think 100% that's what it screams. He doesn't even know that there's, I feel like, something out there.
The exact opposite. I think he knows that it's out there, and he's trying to make the interviewer feel like an idiot, being like why didn't you bring this up to me all these years? You haven't said anything, but now all of a sudden there's a TV show, and now you know what's going on? Which is like,
well, that too.
Yeah, Donald Trump, Mr. President. That's how it happens. She did this to bring awareness to a situation that some people still were not aware of. So it's actually a very relevant time to bring this up, especially with you as president and things like this happening every day.
And you were so involved back then,
you
too.
You called for the death penalty of all of them. So that's...
And in the actual show, you did this. Michael, what else you got for us?
Well, by the way, continuing on Trump, just want to add, he did officially launch his reelection this year. Actually, not this year. For 2020, he announced it just a couple days ago at a huge rally in Florida. And his saying is, keep America great. His first one, make America great again. This one is keep America great.
Because so we're killing it.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you think he's going to win?
Of course he was in Florida.
Yes, I think
no,
he's going to win.
No.
No.
Takira, no. Well, the final story.
He is literally so, so loved by the people that he has loved. The Trump supporters are more supportive of their president than I've ever seen anybody be of any president.
I'm just hopeful because I feel like a lot of people have changed their minds.
Michael, I do want you to close out on a good note, though, with a historic deal that's going on. That I want to make sure we get to that. So
yes.
Will you hit me with positivity?
I just wish Trump wasn't a dick. I just wish he wasn't a dick.
Is that possible?
Maybe that's too
not
hard.
My biggest issue
but,
with him.
You know, there's good people
on
both sides.
I don't mind him
sides,
being a dick.
So. There we go.
Bad.
Well, the deal that you're talking about is that for Janet Mock gets a historic deal with Netflix. She was one of the main writers and producers and directors on Pose, which is going on right now on FX. Woo-hoo. And she now
check out the AfterBuzz TV after show for it. They are killing it.
I produced that show. It's not a big deal.
It's so good.
Big
awesome.
Deal. Make sure you go watch the after show. She is the first black transgender woman to sign an overall deal with a major studio. The specific details haven't been released, but this is a 3-year deal. She will continue to write and direct for Pose, so don't worry, not going anywhere there, and serve as an executive producer and director on Hollywood, an upcoming Netflix series. And so what kind of content do you think we'll see from her?
I think whatever the hell she wants.
Yes.
And in any genre or whatever, just about damn time. This is what we need to do to bring visibility to the normalcy of transgender people working in the industry.
Yeah.
Just like anybody else. The fact that this is it's historic is the problem.
In 2019.
Yeah. So good on you guys, Netflix, but everybody else, time to step up your game. You're about 5,000 years late. So I'm excited to see what kind of, the more voices and the more different kinds of voices we have, the better content we get.
100%. When Pose came out, I was like,
oh,
it is such a good show. It is so well written, and it just makes me so excited. Like, I'm like, my face hurts from smiling from this story, because there are so many stories that are going to be written and made that matter and teach and are loved and such beautiful pieces of work.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing that makes me feel proud to live in this country, that this can be a news story that we talk about, and we still have so many miles of growth to go, but the fact that at least we have come this far shows that we are a light years ahead of certain other countries. So it's really exciting, and let's see what she's got.
All right, we got two more Super Chats real quick.
Okay.
Matthew Gold, Captain Roxy is doing great steering the ship.
Thank you, Matthew.
And Butthole Weed, the last Super Chat of the day. I don't subscribe, but I'm here to promote What Are These Podcasts?
Wait, why? Butthole, you're so weird. I love you, Butthole. Coming from the hot blonde in the captain's chair, baby.
The boring hot blonde.
Yeah. Oh, yep, that's true. I forgot about that.
And the toolbox.
Maybe we should start a podcast, Steph. Boring hot blonde and toolbox
oh
unite.
My God. Oh, yes.
I'm seeing the logos already.
We need nicknames for you guys, though. Butthole, give us another super chat. Let us know their nicknames.
I'm still left out.
But until then, we'll just call you at Takira_Shabre, otherwise known as Takira Wireless.
Yeah.
In the booth at the only MC. MCing all night tonight.
MCing all night, and MC providing the latest update on Twitter from our poll, which is 56% yes, 44% no, over 400 votes. Keep them coming at The Tomorrow Show on Twitter and on Instagram. We want to know what you guys think. Will you or will you not go see The Avengers when it returns to theaters?
Kind of closer than I thought it would be. Interesting. It's at Steph Sabra. It's at Roxy Stryer, at Undergaro, who will be back next week. So I know you guys have been missing him. He will be here next week. Don't you worry. We're at The Tomorrow Show on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever you are. Give us that 5-star, that thumbs up. Also on iTunes and the Not Sam Networks YouTube page every single Wednesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll see you guys next time. And Takira, you want to sign us out?
Sure.
You know what it is? So until next week.
Do your best to make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Be sure to subscribe to our Not Sam YouTube channel and hit us up on social media at The Tomorrow Show. I'm Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, and this has been a presentation of the Not Sam Network.